Broadcasting live from the WNSR studios in Nashville, Tennessee, it's the Fantasy Red Zone Podcast Show. Every week, we discuss your favorite players and teams. Now, here's your host, Mr. NFL Junkie himself, Ray Doskey.
Yeah, another installment of the Fantasy Red Zone hosted by your boy Ray Doskey, a.k.a. the NFL Junkie, where you can find me on Instagram at NFL.Junkie, where I answer all start-sit questions, trade evaluations, anything pretty much NFL. It doesn't matter what it is. Trades, rumors, NFL draft, all the content's there. Check it out if you haven't already. And if you do like what you see, please be sure to hit that follow button. Appreciate it. Love the support I get from you guys. Let's talk about week 11. Week 11's over. It's just about over. It's wrapping up. And boy, are we having a nice game to wrap up it. Bucks, Rams. Two teams vying for that top position in their respectable divisions. You got the Rams, who is trying to stay up with the Seahawks right now. And then you've got the Buccaneers, who are basically trying to keep up with the Saints. Now, granted, we all saw what happened yesterday with them going against the Falcons yesterday. Taysom Hill, boy, he showed out. I was kind of surprised about this. His showcase yesterday, he really played well. Granted, it's the Falcons here. Let's be real. It's the Falcons. So their pass defense is not the greatest. But MT, he's healthy again. He's having fun. Had a ton of receptions. Had a solid game. Emmanuel Sanders was involved. He had over 60 yards, over six or seven receptions. Solid games by both these guys. Now all they just need to do is get Kamara in. So if anything, these Saints can probably ride out that, you know, this next 3 weeks or probably longer, however long Breeze is out with those fractured ribs. Taysom Hill might be a solid, solid play in those teams, and I'm going to be talking about him a little later in my fantasy waiver wire week 12 pickups. Before I do so, let's talk about tonight's game, shall we? What a great game. You've got two teams that are really riding some high momentum, playing some good defense, offense. Tom Brady's kind of found his niche, if you will, in this old Buccaneers offense. Been pretty well, been pretty solid. They've kind of tailored some things a little bit. Then you've got the Rams, who are playing some awesome, awesome defense. I mean, they're playing some great defense. Offense, we all know what to expect from Sean McVay and that team. They've got playmakers everywhere, so it's always expected they're gonna play some solid ball on the offensive side. But the defense side of the ball, I was actually really impressed because outside of Donald and Jalen Ramsey, I didn't know who else was gonna step up. And that whole unit has really has showcased some solid defensive play over the last 4 or 5 weeks, and they positioned themselves really well to be a real factor in the NFC West to possibly run out that division. I mean. That division is getting really tight. I mean, it's a three-headed monster between them, Arizona, and the Seahawks. Then you look at what Tampa Bay is doing. It's between Tampa Bay and the Bucs. I mean, the Saints. Sorry. Tampa Bay and the Saints are the only two. But, like I said, there's a lot of things on the line right now. The only way that the Buccaneers can actually win out and beat to get the NFC South is if they have a better record than the Saints. I don't know if that's going to happen because the Saints' schedule looks to be a little favorable the next 3 or 4 weeks until Breeze comes back. So, but anything's possible. The NFL, you take it one game at a time. But let's talk about this intriguing matchup tonight. I have some several intangibles of what I expect to see tonight. I just don't know what to expect and how I'm expect. Well, let me talk about what I'm expecting. What I'm expecting right now is it's going to be probably a more low scoring game. I don't think it's going to be as high scoring as most people think because you're going to have two defensive units that are pretty solid, probably top 10, top 5, then the respectable pass run categories. I just don't see it's going to be a high-scoring game. I've seen a lot of analysts say, oh, it's going to be in the high, mid-20s, whatever. No, I don't see that. I could see anything, if anything, a low-scoring game, possibly. So, if you look at Tampa Bay, and you see how Tom Brady's been playing over the last couple of weeks, he doesn't have that deep ball. He's kind of lost that deep ball effect, and it's hindered that Buccaneers offense, if you will. They can't really throw it deep because I feel like, you know, he's 43 and ages come up and like he just can't do it. So they've tailored that offense where it's a lot more short intermediate passes. They've got the run game going. I mean, Ronald Jones showed last week with his 46 fantasy point outing last week. I mean, he just came out of nowhere. It's like, boom, Ronald Jones, I'm here. I'm taking over the first place. And then Fournette kind of took a back seat. So they got the run game going. And now you've got Godwin coming out and showed like his finger was not really much of an issue last week. I mean, he's really kind of run with that a little bit, and he's kind of starting to get a little healthier, and he had a nice game last week. He had a nice little bounce back game last week. But then if you look at to see what's going on with the opposite side with the Rams, it's like they've been playing solid ball. Like, they've got great offense. I mean, their defense has really stepped up. I think they're like either top four or five in total defense. I mean, they are really stout, really hard. I mean, I feel like tonight, when you watch these two games, Tom Brady and Jared Goff will be under an immense amount of pressure. They're going to be immense. I think they're just going to it's just going to be just the pressure alone, I think, is going to throw that game off a little bit. I mean, if you think about how Tampa Bay's played, they played pretty well. They just can't beat the Saints. They just can't. For some reason, they can't beat the Saints. They can't get going, whether it be Tom Brady can't get going, Ronald Jones can't get going. Like, it's just, for some reason, it's like their kryptonite this year is the New Orleans Saints. Then when you look at how they're basically trying to play now, it's just, I think that Bruce Arians, and he's come out to say that, is that they haven't had their bye yet. They haven't had their bye yet. So I feel like and he said that because of that, these players are a little tired. They're worn out a little bit. And they definitely are in need of that bye week break so that they can kind of recover and get back to football as they make this push to like second half of the season going into the playoffs. Because in the NFC East, I mean, the NFC itself, who are your dominant teams? You've got the Seahawks, you got the Rams, you got the Bucks. You can throw the Bucks in there. You got the Arizona Cardinals who are vying for a spot as well. So there's a lot of good teams that are vying for playoff positions, and I know that the Bucks want to be up there. I'm pretty sure they want to play at home, just much like every other NFC team or NFL team that is when they're going through the playoffs. But they have a lot of catching up to because the fact that they lost two games to the Saints. So if anything, if they can muster out some wins and the Saints can kind of fall a little bit with Taysom Hill, see where that goes, and maybe position themselves to, you know, number one overall in the NFC South, who knows? Maybe they can get it. But then when you look to see how Tom Brady's been playing, like I said earlier, is about the whole, like, you know, he's not been able to throw that deep ball. You know, you can see sometimes when he's trying to get the deep ball, like Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown are pretty much your intermediate, you know, short rack guys. Like they basically receive they got yards after the catch. I mean, when you look at Mike Evans has never been like a medium intermediate guy. He's pretty much been like that deep threat, red zone, like, you know, guy. And you can see sometimes he's been frustrated because he has opportunities, but he just can't get the ball he can't get the ball from Brady. He's just like, come on, what do I need to do? And, you know, sometimes Brady's like, either he can't make it, or he's under pressure, or he's distressed, what have you. And then he goes to Godwin, or he goes to, you know, dump off to running back, we can't talk about Antonio Brown because Antonio Brown hasn't been relevant right now. I mean, let's be real. He hasn't really cemented himself in this offense. He's only been with him for a couple of weeks now. So maybe tonight he showcases. Maybe, you know, he does something, because what we all know is that the Rams are susceptible to slot receivers. And that leads me to my next point. Who's Jalen Ramsey? Who's he going to guard? Who's he guarding? Is it going to be Mike Evans? Is it going to be Chris Godwin? Is it going to be Antonio Brown? My money is on he's going to put on Mike Evans. If that's the case, Chris Godwin is going to have a monster game tonight. I think he's going to have a monster game. I think he's going to be utilizing the slot. He's going to work well for Brady. And what we all know is that Brady likes to get the ball quick. He wants to get it out quick. He doesn't want to keep it in his hands. He doesn't want to do anything whatsoever. So be sure to watch how that game flow is. If you're playing DFS, or if you've got, you know, conundrum of who you got to play, and if you got two players playing tonight and you can only pick one of that wide receivers or flex spot, and Godwin's one of those players, you got to play Godwin. You have to play Godwin tonight. I mean, it just makes total sense to play Godwin tonight. Now, and he hasn't, I mean, since having a surgery, I mean, he's only had what, only 12 targets, 9 receptions. He's had over 133 yards, and that's against the Panthers and the Saints. So he's slowly getting back into, you know, that groove again. And he's building that connection again with Brady, because he's been, you know, off and on the field throughout the season. So I'm glad to see that he's able to kind of get himself back in there. And here's another thing to note. He's seen at least 6 targets in each game this season. And he's recorded 5 receptions in 5 or 6 of those contests. So he's seeing targets. And he'll see a ton tonight because the Rams are so susceptible to slot receivers. I don't see, maybe they might slide around. They might slide around Antonio Brown. I just don't see it happening. I think that more or less is going to be Chris Godwin. You know, I just think that he's just primarily from, I think, because he knows the offense a little better than Antonio Brown. I think the connection's already there. I mean, we're talking about Antonio Brown just joined the team. So I see Chris Godwin having the more upside tonight over him. Now, when you look at other players that might also have another intangible that I believe that's going to be a big deal, is that defense rules the day. I don't think either team gains over 350 yards tonight. Possibly. I mean, personally, I don't see either team going over 350 yards. I mean, if you look at, I mean, they have a ton of talent on, like I said, on the offensive side of the ball, but they have head coaches in that defensive side that are strong defensive mind coaches that are going to stop the run. They're going to try to control the pass. They're going to pressure the quarterback. And we all know that if you think that pressuring Tom Brady is bad, even though he gets the ball out quickly, Jared Goff is even worse. I mean, when he deals with, you know, aggressive defenses, I mean, he has this limited ability of reading defenses. Like, he just, you know, he just can't see the field as well. So it puts him in distress, and he makes, you know, turns over the ball, or he fumbles, or he takes a sack, you know, a stupid sack, whatever. I don't know what's going on. Like, dude, like, that's why he relies on the run. That's why they have that 300 monster in that Rams backfield, which they're hoping will possibly get going tonight against that stout Bucks line, and hopefully buy some time for Goff to kind of ease into the game and hopefully open up that pass game. Now, we all know that we've seen Woods. He's kind of hit or miss. I mean, he's fairly inconsistent. And then you've got Cooper Kupp, but you also have Josh Reynolds. And it's hard to really factor in, like, who's going to be the solid player in that defense. Well, I mean, that offensive scheme. One week it's scripted for Josh Reynolds. Another week it's scripted for Cooper Kupp, or Robert Woods. It's like 31 failures. I mean, it's just like, it depends what, you just pick your choice. I mean, like, you know, it's hard to tell. It's like, it's just like, you know, you dribble and shoot, so hopefully it hits. But I think that of all those three receivers tonight, Cooper Kupp should be a solid play tonight. I think that he's going to have a great game. I think there's going to be a ton of opportunity for him to see targets coming his way. I mean, if you think about, he's gotten at least 5 targets in every game this season. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, that's enough. That's solid production. That's solid. I mean, that you know, you can see that he's being looked at, especially in that slot position, which I think that on the Buccaneers side can be had. I think the matchup is there for them. I mean, he's seen at least, you know, he's even seen a 20-target game that was back in week 9. I mean, wow. I mean, that just tells you we don't know what to expect. But despite the workload, I mean, he has struggled to produce over the last couple of weeks, but I think that he's going to bounce back, because he's only scored, what, twice of this year? I mean, he's only, what, 50 yards, and he scored twice in just 5 times. So I believe that there is going to be an opportunity for him to find success in that Rams passing attack against that Buccaneers defense. I really do. Another player that I like this week, for if you're playing, like I said, DFS, or you're trying to slide another player in, or you've got 2 players that you're trying to go back and forth in, and you're just like, oh, subject to a coin flip, is Darrell Henderson. Now, I know that sounds clear, and it's hard to tell, because you're thinking to myself, okay, hold on, you got Henderson, you got Akers, you got Brown, like, who do you play? You're not playing Brown. You're not playing Akers. Henderson has shown that he's basically the main ball carrier in that defensive, on the Rams offensive side, to go against this Bucks defense. I see that they're going to basically try to run him through. I mean, he's had 5 games with double-digit carries this season, and he's only combined for 15 carries the past 2 weeks. So I think that this, I mean, even though it's going to be a tough matchup, I think, like, this, the low scoring affair will tilt to his workload, because the fact that they probably won't get the passing game going as well. And I think that both teams are going to rely on the run first to set up the pass, especially with the Rams, who like to play and love, I mean, not like, love to play the play action. I mean, the play action is predicated off the run. We've seen it for many years since the play action has been invented. It's predicated off the run. So I believe that, you know, Henderson will have a solid game. Temper expected, he might get, I don't know, maybe 75, 80 yards and a touchdown. Maybe he might even break the century point. I don't know. It just depends on how the game flow is tonight. But like I said earlier, I don't see both teams going over 350 total yards on either side of the ball. I just don't see it. I think it's going to be a low-scoring defensive game. So that leads me to my pick of the game. I'm taking the Buccaneers, because I feel like they just have just enough to beat the Rams. And it's close. It was close. I was going back and forth. But I see that the Rams losing to the Buccaneers 21-17. And I'm going to post a story today on my Instagram page. Tell me what you guys like. Let's get a chat going. I love to talk to you guys. Like I said, you can find me on Instagram at NFL.junkie, where I do all start sits. We have a lot of fun on that content. I'll be posting the story, so keep an eye on that. But that leads me towards waiver wire week 12. Now, we have a busy week, this guys, this week. We've got three games on Thanksgiving on Thursday. Then we got our slate of Sunday games. So it's going to be a busy week. So you got to stay with me on my page. Stick with me. DM me. Get in contact with me. I'll give you all the latest notes, updates. You name it, the junkies got you. So be sure to check in with me. But let's go to one of my first players I like. And it's crazy that I'm saying this, but it is Taysom Hill. Last week I was kind of, if you're an ESPN fantasy or you're playing, you know DFS, what have you, you had the option to play him at that, you know, tight end position. Yes, you definitely start him. But in other like NFL Network or on the NFL.com site, or you play on Sleeper or whatever, he was slated as a quarterback. I was surprised about, you know, what he did. I was really impressed. Now, like I said, granted, like earlier, this is the Falcons we're talking about here. The Falcons make anybody look good. They make everybody look like a Super Bowl quarterback, for God's sake. So let's be real here. But if you looked at how Taysom Hill played last week, I mean, the Saints scripted a playbook very easy to Hill. I mean, it was a lot of short passes to Michael Thomas. As you saw, he saw a ton of targets. So it was mostly when he was looking for a target, Michael Thomas was involved. Kamara didn't even get, I don't think he even got a catch yesterday. I mean, he had an okay outing, but it was never like, it's not to like Kamara's expectations or us fantasy owners of him, of what he usually puts out. I mean, he's usually in high double digits. He was in the low double digits, you know, this past weekend. So that was kind of surprising. I thought they were for sure were going to rely on the run, because of the fact of the limitations we all thought that Hill might have with the passing game, not having the strong arm. And we saw the struggles a little bit with his strong arm. And when we had that deep pass, Emmanuel Sanders, and Emmanuel Sanders had to come back and get the ball and just kind of stay there. Granted, he made the catch and, you know, that you know, worked in the Saints' favor, but you could see there's some limitations. So it made sense how they scripted a lot of short slants, you know, little comeback plays for MT or some of those, you know, crossing wide receiver patterns. You know, it favored into Hill, and whatever didn't work out there, or if there was no passing game, Hill just tucked the ball in, run for, you know, a nice rush gain, what have you. So, but he, if you look at what his schedule looks like, I mean, he's got week 12 against the Broncos, and then he comes back in week 13 against that same Falcons defense. I mean, if you're trying to fight for a position for, you know, those deeper leagues or what have you, or you feel like you want to slide someone that's got that run pass capability, like, I'm not saying Russell Wilson, but he offers those options to you as a quarterback, he might be a strong play for you for this week. So I would really consider playing or picking him up, stash him, especially for your deeper leagues or DFS that are those two quarterback, whether, you know, you have a super flex, he is your guy. Pick him up. Another one is Curtis Samuel. Curtis Samuel has been awesome. He's been kind of flying under the radar. Like, it's been crazy how much he's been flying on the radar. He's seen at least 5 targets in the last 6 games. Like, this guy's been money for the Carolina Panthers. And what I saw yesterday with Carolina, that's what I expected. I didn't expect that it was going to be, you know, as efficient as an offense as they were yesterday, but they looked good yesterday. I mean, they looked pretty good for someone who just came from the XFL, you know, from playing, you know, the quarterback playing from the XFL. So I was surprised to see that a little bit. Mike Davis, well, he had a solid outing yesterday, but Curtis Samuel has been pretty outstanding for this Panthers team, especially this year. You know, now unfortunately the Panthers do have a bye this week, so you have a spot that you can stash him and kind of put him on your, you know, just for bench, just for a week. You need to pick up Curtis Samuel because he's been very, very involved in that Carolina offensive attacking team. You know, if you look at what they got next, they take on a Vikings defense. I mean, they're very weak against the run. I mean, and pass this year, if you want to be honest. I mean, they've been a suspect in the defense side of the ball. I mean, look what happened last week, yesterday. Zeke found the fountain of youth. He looks like apparently he was dealing with some hamstring injuries. I don't know what was going on, but he looked good for the first time this entire year. Like, he looked like he was hungry, and I was so excited to see that. I'm like, yes, that's the Zeke we all know. They had the passing game going yesterday against the Vikings, so we all know the Vikings are very susceptible on running backs, as we saw yesterday. And so if you're looking for a player that should be high on your list, should be Samuel. He's pretty much like a wide receiver 3 flex option, because after he hits Vikings next week, when he comes off their bye, week 14, they got Denver, who's also been pretty susceptible to the run as well. So two great matchups for Curtis Samuel coming up in that Carolina Panthers. He, you know, I would literally, if you have it, like I said, a stash position that you're going to hold him until he comes off the bye, you won't be sorry. He'll be a solid flex play for you guys. Another one that I want to move to, J.K. Dobbins. Boy, did he show out yesterday. It just seems like he's trying to separate himself from the pack between Gus Edwards and Mark Ingram. Like, he's just starting to, like, solidify that number one running back's position in Baltimore. And I always thought that he was going to do it. I thought he was the best back of the three in Baltimore. I was just wondering when was Greg Roman going to say, like, all right, yeah, let's go and start him. I'm like, dude, why haven't you started him sooner? Because everything else on that Baltimore side has been suspect. Like, I just feel like they're not the same team. Like, I saw a couple months ago when they played against, you know, that same Titans team they played yesterday in January. You know, I missed this on this one, but Antonio Brown, I thought he was going to have a great game. No. Nope. I was like, what's going on with Lamar Jackson? It feels like they kind of figured him out. But Greg Roman likes to throw the ball. He likes to run the ball, and he showed yesterday how much he likes to roll the ball. I mean, like, he's available in a lot of these 10-team leagues, you know, highly available. So if you're looking for a guy that's going to be solid, I think you should need to add him, because he led the rushes with 70 yards and a touchdown in week 11. He was the prominent one. So I think that his role with that Ravens offense is going to continue to grow. So he will be that number one. It just, if it hasn't happened already, it's only a matter of time. So if you got a spot, he's available in your leagues, pick him up, put him on your bench. See what, you know, and then go from there. Another player is James White. Boy, where did he come from yesterday, huh? You had Damon Harris, who had an okay game. I thought he was going to have a better game against the Texans. I was expecting him to go really nuts yesterday, but it looks like they scripted a little bit differently yesterday, and they had Rex Burkhead kind of involved yesterday. But what we all saw yesterday, Rex Burkhead got hurt yesterday. So now that he's out, yesterday he caught, you know, when we're talking about James White, he caught 6 of 9 targets for 64 yards. I mean, he also rushed it for 5 times for 19 yards when Burkhead got out, when he was trying to give Harris some time off. So now that New England, I feel like it's going to be a two-headed monster. And I even think Sony Michel, he's going to be coming as back as well. Like, he's only a matter of time. I think that it's going to be split. I think James, if you're in a PPR format, you need to play James White. Because Sony Michel and Damien Harris do not provide either in that format at all. At all. So if you're looking for a PPR guy that's in that flex spot, I would play him. I'd literally probably start him in the next couple of weeks, because if you look at his upcoming matchups, he's got some really favorable ones. I mean, he's pretty much a viable PPR star as long as Burkhead is out. I mean, let's be real here. So if you look at, he's got pretty much massive upside for the rest of the season. So pick up James White. He's your guy. He's only, I think, from what I did the numbers, he's only got a 40% ownership stake right now. So he should be available out there for you guys. So look for James White. Another one, Tim Patrick. Boy, love Tim. I've loved Tim Patrick all year. Tim Patrick has been money all year. Until he got hurt and then he got kicked out. Even the time he got kicked out, he was kicked out of the game. He had a little over 60 yards. I mean, he was still having a good game until he got in a little scuffle and he got kicked out a couple weeks ago. It was just like, well, okay, whatever. It's football. I mean, it happens. But yesterday he saw 8 targets. Eight targets. And that tied the team with Jerry Jeudy. And he posted 119 yards. I think that was a team high yesterday. That's solid numbers, especially if you're playing with a wide receiver 3. That's money, especially in a PPR format. Yeah, I love that. And they got the Saints coming up week 12. Now, Lattimore's missed some time on that Saints defense, so we don't know what's going to happen. But let's be real here. You got Tim Patrick and you got Jerry Jeudy. Looks like the Broncos love to pass that ball because they can't get this running game going, especially with Melvin Gordon. I think he's just, he's kind of hit or miss. I like Philip Lindsay a lot more. I showed yesterday how, you know, Lindsay was more of an effective runner and back, if you will, in that Denver offense than Melvin Gordon is. So I like how you've got the Broncos coming against New Orleans. If you're fine, you know, we're all fighting for that final playoff push, trying to, you know, supplant ourselves in that seeding format, what have you. I'd play him. Get him in your league. Get him on your team, because he's only about, you know, he can't do any wrong. I mean, let's be real here. He can't do any wrong. Another one, Emmanuel Sanders. He dropped below 50% ownership. I was like, wow, really? I mean, that's even with Breeze. I'm like, oh, and I get it, because Breeze went out and all that stuff, and he was playing solid football with Breeze, and, you know, with MT still hurt, he was solid. I'm surprised that he was not at least benched by a lot of, like, fantasy owner teams, but he was available in less than 50% of the leagues, from what I read. And from what I saw yesterday, I was impressed. Like I said earlier, that even with that backup quarterback, Taysom Hill, he had 66 yards on 4 receptions. And who do the Saints face again? I just mentioned it earlier. They got the Falcons coming up again in week 14. And then in week 16, which probably is like a lot of you guys like playoff, like Super Bowl, like your playoff, like, you know, championship game. He's got the Saints got Minnesota. Breeze might be back by then. We don't know. Even if he's not, you got Taysom Hill, who showed to be solid against a mediocre to below average defense. Sanders will have some. He's got some upside of wide receiver three. He's got some huge wide receiver three upside. So if not that, definitely a flex play. So go grab Sanders. Don't be a Donsky. Don't just go get him. Because this is ridiculous that he's available. Let's be real here. Just go get Sanders. If he's available, need him, especially for those 12 team and up, you know, format teams, leagues, go get him. Just go get him. Then you got Sterling Sharp. Sterling Sharp has been on my radar for 2 weeks. He's been on my radar for 2 weeks, and I'm surprised that he's still available in a lot of leagues. Since his return from his turf show, he's had 8 targets. He's averaged about 6.5 receptions, and he's had a little over 55 yards received yards per game, and that's solid wide receiver three. If you really think about it, on this, you know, since he's been back from that trip on the last 3 games, that's solid wide receiver three flex appeal. But let's look at what the Giants' upcoming games are. They've got the Cincinnati Bengals, who are 25th. Week 13, they got Seattle, who's the 32nd. And then you got Week 14 against Arizona, who is the 26th. And then week 15 against Cleveland, who's the 27th ranked pass defense. That's 4 games. Danny Dimes is going to get Shepard the ball. Like, he's going to get the ball. Like, you need to pick up Shepard. He's available in a ton of leagues. Pick him up. He's a solid play. He's going against 4 of the weaker passing defenses in the next coming weeks. It's not rocket science, people. Just go get him. Please go get him. And we all saw what my boy did yesterday, Michael Pittman. Did we see what Michael Pittman did yesterday? I told you, if you picked him up, he is Phillip Rivers' number one receiver option. T.Y. Hilton is pretty much, he's past his prime. Pascal, I was asked about him this week. I'm like, Pascal has been irrelevant. I don't even know if he's on there. Like, he has some play a little bit, but it's been the Michael Pittman show. Now, granted, I mean, if you watched the game yesterday, which was a great, I don't know if you guys caught the Colts-Packers game in overtime. I mean, the Colts won in overtime. It was just nuts. But if you look at Michael Pittman, he had 66, he had 3 receptions, a little over 60 yards, and a touchdown. I'll take that. Yep, I'll snag that. Put him at flex, not a problem. And I'm doing it, I'm not even second guessing. I'm not even second thinking. I'm just like, yeah, that's it. He started on 2 of my teams this week. Yep, no problem. Let me give you that. Who do the Colts have this week? They've got Tennessee again at home. And we also, if you guys saw him 2 weeks ago on Thursday Night Football, we saw what Pittman did against the Tennessee Titans, who are horrible when it comes to the pass. They have the slowest cornerbacks that I've ever seen. Which, like I said, like it mind boggles me that Hollywood Brown did not have a great game. But Pittman did. Pittman did. And I'm expecting him to have another great game this coming week at home against the Tennessee Titans. And then you've got Nelson Aguilar, who just kind of catches a touchdown every week. So, yeah, I'm just going to catch a touchdown. Yeah, that's what I do. I just catch touchdowns. Yep. I mean, I'm available. I'm just another touchdown. Yeah, oh, just another. Yeah, dude, like, why is he still available? Like, what's going on? Like, why is he still available in your leagues? Come on, guys. Let's get him off the waiver wire and put him on your leagues, because he's basically shown that he is the number one option in that Raiders passing attack. Carr has got a connection with him. Ride it. I mean, he had 6 catches for 88 yards and 1 touchdown yesterday against losing to the Chiefs yesterday. He should have had a second one. He should have had 2 touchdowns, but he had 1. He had 1. I mean, he's a strong wide receiver 3-4, if that. And when I mean 3-4, I'm talking about wide receiver 3 or flex play, because he's got the Falcons and the Jets coming up. Come on, guys. Falcons and Jets, really? And Nelson Aguilar, who's a wide receiver 1 for a solid Raiders team, is available in over 30-40% of the leagues. It's a no-brainer, guys. Stop overthinking it. Please pick up Nelson Aguilar. Another one, Rashad Higgins. I was going to talk about Higgins last week, but due to the fact that Cleveland doesn't need to play Cleveland. Like, when they play at home, it's like, yeah, you just basically downplay every wide receiver, because the weather's just either it's windy, it's cold, it's sleet, it's nutty, it's up. It's just, yeah. So the receivers take a, you know, a hit, and then it's the Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt show, which we saw yesterday. But Rashard Higgins has actually been pretty solid. I mean, yesterday he had 3 catches for 65 yards against that Philadelphia defense. Now, I know it's the Eagles defense, and like they're susceptible to the pass defense, what have you. But still, that's solid, especially in that weather climate. But if you look at what he has coming up, he's got some great favorable matchups. From weeks 13 to 16, he's got the Titans, the Giants, and the Jets. Of the three, the Giants might be the toughest of the three, if you will, because they've been playing some solid ball. I think that, and I mentioned this in one of my stories earlier last week. I was like, oh, this is cool. The Giants are going to win the NFC East, and they're going to have a top 5 pick. And you guys kind of kept, and I was like, dude, that was total sarcasm, guys. Total sarcasm. Hope y'all caught it, but that's exactly what I thought. Like, I just was trying to be funny, but I guess it didn't land right. But just let y'all know, that's what I was saying. Like, the Giants are probably going to win the NFC East. I believe it. And I don't know why we're still talking. You know, when I see people post stuff about the NFC East, I'm like, really? Like, are they relevant? Anyways, that's neither here nor there. We're talking about Rashard Higgins. I think that he's a solid play. He has been basically the de facto ever since Odell Beckham Jr. has been he has been the guy to where he's been more the most consistent of the receivers on that Browns team. So expect him to be a solid flex play. I believe that for a fact, because he especially has two easy, nice match. No, I won't say easy. He's got two favorable matchups. Let's go with favorable. I'm not going to say easy, but two favorable matchups against the Titans and the Jaguars. Like I said, the Giants will be susceptible, but the Titans and Jaguars, I mean, he could probably help you solidify that playoff spot. So, but through and through, those are some of my waiver picks, guys. I'll add something on my page tomorrow of who else I feel like should be added. But those are some early waiver wire pickups for you guys to think about, consider as you're trying to look through the list, as you're watching this great game between the Buccaneers and the Rams tonight. But if there's anything you guys, like I said, if you don't like any of my picks or you want to ask me stuff, DM me, hit me up. I'm all about having fun with y'all. I want to enjoy this time because I love talking about football. I love NFL. Like I said, I'm the junkie. You know, I own that tag for a reason. So if you got any questions, whatever, feel me, you know, just, you know, check me out, reach out to me on DM. Let's get the conversation going, because I enjoy stuff like that, and I'll talk, and, you know, we'll see where it goes. But I will have another podcast coming out Wednesday where I'm going to be talking about my fantasy players to play and my predictions for Thanksgiving football, because we've got some three games that I feel like, of the three, everyone's talking about this, you know, the Steelers and Ravens, but the other two games could be a high scoring game because all four of their defenses suck. Like, they suck. You know, so I think that there's some strong play players, and there's gonna be some strong plays there, and I think there's gonna be some high scoring games, especially for like that noon game and that 3 o'clock game. But I will be sending another podcast out on, if I can do it, probably Wednesday. Have it out for you guys to listen to all day Wednesday and Thursday. So be sure to check it out, and then I'll do another one follow after that to do my start sits coming up this for week 12. So keep your eye out. I'll be posting my story. Until then, I'm out. We'll be right back.